Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the podcast that has been watching way too much PWHL. It's the Pens and Stuff podcast. I'm Andrew.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Abby.
And a lot of things happened in the last week.
It's been
the PWHL became official.
The Winter Classic happened.
Michigan trampled Alabama.
No, it was a very
That's not a trampling. That's like a sphincter clenching win. Actually,
they trampled them in the last 3 minutes and into overtime. Alabama had no chance of winning that after they tied it up. No chance.
Well, I think you're right there.
Well, no, absolutely not, because...
And it was the first game where Nick Saban felt completely out-coached, so that's cool.
Good.
Oh, my God. Wow. John Harbaugh.
There you go.
Well, Harbaugh is the best coach in the Big Ten, so...
You kidding
me? What else happened? Well, The Penguins happened.
They did.
The Penguins happened. They won, and they lost.
They won, and they lost.
Well, and Pittsburgh, the Steelers, are doing what they always do, is they have to win and rely on five other people to win or lose, and they're in the playoffs.
Yep.
So,
The Broncos? I think the Broncos are out. But they Broncos beat the Chargers.
But we need the Broncos to win.
We do need the Broncos to come through.
Who are
through.
They playing?
The Raiders, I believe.
Oh, easy.
The Raiders. Well, not so much. The Raiders have been playing out of their heads the last couple of weeks.
Let me see. Who is...
Too little, too late.
Okay, but this ain't a football podcast, except it will be next week if Michigan wins and Pittsburgh makes the playoffs. But all that to say. All three of us are back.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm not dead anymore.
Andrew got a correct score in predictions. There was a lot of stuff that happened. But let's start with the Penguins week that happened, I suppose.
Four games.
Four games. Thank you. Go ahead. Take it, Dad.
Four games. Three and one. Andrew, you did say 6 points out of the eight that were available, didn't you? Isn't that what you said?
I said 8-8, and I was almost correct.
Okay. But yeah, I mean,
you said they were going to lose like three of them, I think, or something.
I thought they would lose to Boston. I thought they would lose to New York.
Well, they did their best to lose to Boston. So,
well,
they tried
this is true.
Really hard.
But can I? Well, we'll get. I'll say what I have to say about the Boston game here in a minute. But started out the week in against St. Louis, and
of course, Kapanen would score against us.
Yeah, but we handled business there, right?
Yeah.
I like to see Kasperi Kapanen, thriving. Yeah. Also, that was the score that Andrew got correct. Huh? Just saying.
The St. Louis.
Yeah, it's 42.
I want to say something,
though, I said 42.
About a certain youngster named Drew O'Connor.
Yes.
Because the man has been playing out of his mind.
Like, for someone who's got no mitts, or so I've heard, he's been playing very well.
He has been very, like, you see him. He is there. Yep. Yeah. And he's been exactly the type of depth scorer that the Penguins have been needing. Like and he hasn't scored every game, but he's contributed every game. He's been like creating chances every game, and like you see him, he's making an impact.
Right.
Because
right.
sometimes those, especially those bottom line guys, you're like, oh, they were on the ice there, I didn't notice. You know, like right. they didn't do anything. Which can be a good thing because it means they're not doing anything super poorly stupid. Either. But like.
Kind of like offensive linemen. When you don't notice them,
that's
a good thing.
They're doing the right thing.
They're doing what they're supposed to do.
They're doing their job.
But Drew O'Connor has been noticeable in the best ways possible. And so I've been like, especially in this, he scored a goal in the St. Louis game, but in the Washington and Boston games, he was just so, so good.
Yeah.
Like you saw him and he was the fastest skater on the ice for the Penguins, hands down. Like he was the grittiest grinder. He wanted that. Him and Jansen Harkins.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. No, isn't DOC the youngest player on the Penguins right now?
One of
him or Pustinen.
Yeah.
It's Pusty right now.
Okay.
But you said Jansen Harkins, when Matt Nieto is back fully healthy, Jansen Harkins should not see a lick of ice time.
Why do you say that?
Yes, he's gritty, but the man has no hands. The man is not good on his skates. This is just eye test from me.
Did you watch?
I don't like Jansen Harkins.
You didn't watch the Boston game last night.
I didn't watch the full Boston game. I watched the highlights. But what I'm saying, there is good with Jansen Harkins, okay? But the good does not outweigh the bad.
I don't disagree with you.
With Harkins.
I don't disagree with you, but I 100% agree that Nieto comes back when
he's healthy.
When he's healthy, right? Mm-hmm. But Harkins has been that guy for this team, that gritty guy that no one else is stepping up into that role. That is why Harkins.
John Ludvig. I like John Ludvig.
They
I like Zahorna better than Harkins.
Oh, Zahorna wouldn't take the body. Zahorna was not doing what he needed to do. And that's why Harkins is still here, because he's willing to do what the other guys aren't.
Yes.
No, okay. And John Ludvig did not get scratched. He was injured. He's on the injury report.
Oh, is he now?
He has an upper body injury.
Okay.
But I mean, he probably showed up as scratched because they didn't bring anyone up to take his spot. So they just scratched him for the game and then he was reevaluated. But what I'm saying is Harkins is not worth, the juice isn't worth the squeeze with Jansen Harkins, in my opinion.
I mean, I don't disagree with you, and I don't know, because the same things that Harkins brings to the table, I think, Vinny Hinostroza brings to the table more skill.
Yes, and I
a little bit less size and more skill. And
yes,
I don't know why they're playing Harkins over Hinostroza, but I do love what I'm seeing from Harkins the past two games.
Yes, I 100% agree. And maybe when Nieto comes back, you scratch Carter, put Hinostroza on that fourth line.
But
play Archari, Hinostroza, and Nieto. Pustinen gets bumped to that second line. Or no, because Rust is on that second line
now,
isn't he?
Rust. Rust came back.
So
in the Washington
then it would be Eller, OC, and Pustinen. Pustinen.
That line, the Eller, OC, and Pustinen line is fire.
Yeah,
it is
Pustinen
really good.
I don't care who you have to scratch. Pustinen is in the starting lineup. Going
yes,
forward.
He has to be. He has to.
And if he's not, Mike Sullivan needs to be fired.
Honestly, because he's just very good. And I don't know, the chemistry between him and O'Connor and Eller just like clicked.
Do you think he's like
in that Boston game
future? The future of the Penguins?
Will he be part of it?
Will the next big three be like Gensel, Pustinen, and somebody else?
No, I think he'll be more like a Brian Rust type of guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. If the ceiling for Pustinen, I'm trying to think of a comp here, I don't know, because I don't want to overhype him, but I also don't want to undersell him, you know?
Right.
So I feel like I'm trying to think of like a good, solid top six guy who I can't think of anybody right now. My mind's just jumping to like maybe like a Joe Thornton type, you know, not
that great, lauded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also Thornton never won anything.
I think Pustinen could reach that kind of level, don't you?
I think Pustinen could be like a Sam Reinhart type of guy.
There you go. Sam Reinhart. Carter Verhaeghe. Yeah.
Where he has a really good, like, he's got very good instincts and gets a lot of points because the players that he's playing with.
Here you go. Okay. Here's one. Phil Kessel.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe not with the shot of Phil Kessel, but he can't win anything on his own, but he can be a piece.
He's a
missing piece to a championship team.
He's a role player.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily disagree with that.
A great addition to this team.
Awesome.
Yeah. Another thing I want to talk about that reared its ugly head in the last few games is what is up with Ryan Graves?
Oh,
is he the sucking guy? It?
He's been so bad in the Washington game and in the Boston game. Well, he scored in the Boston game, which was a little bit of redemption.
Bad how? Tell me how.
Defensively, he's been weak.
He let so many guys just walk right past him to score. And one of the goals in the Washington game, I think it was, actually deflected off of him.
Okay.
You're 100% correct.
This is something that at the beginning of the year when I was talking with Devils.
Neil.
Yeah, Neil. Thank you.
Yep.
From another podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network. What's the name of
Devil his? State of Mind.
Devil State of Mind. That's it. He was saying that when we got to talking about Ryan Graves, he said, you will love Ryan Graves for like 80% of the season. Mm-hmm. And the other 20%, he's going to drive you mad.
Yeah.
So this is exactly what Neil had told us we could expect.
Right.
And yeah. So I guess in some respects, you want a guy that you're paying that much to do better.
Yeah, he's on a third pair right now.
But you also understand that's basically who he is.
Right. And you have to give him, like, you can't play him for the same minutes that you did when he was playing really well. Which I appreciate Sullivan has noticed that and put him down with Chad so that he can get his bearings again and be the great defenseman that he was at the beginning of the season.
For sure. Oh,
I want to say something along those same lines. We noticed, right, last year, when players were not playing well, nothing changed.
Yes.
That's also true.
This year, players aren't playing well. They're getting scratched, i.e. Zahorna. They're getting bumped moved down a line, i.e. Ryan Graves.
Yep.
And it must be, and this is me drawing, you know, on my little corkboard, drawing lines between everything. The general manager is not micromanaging. Yep. This feels very much like last year, football analogy. Last year we had a Jerry Jones kind of guy.
Yes.
This year we have a Stan Kroenke kind of guy who with the Rams, letting the coach make all the decisions, getting in the pieces, working very well with the coach, as opposed to being like, no, I want this guy starting third line minutes.
Right, because that's what the head coach is for. You hire the coach because he knows the game. You don't hire the GM
to be the coach. Not only that, but your coach knows the players, and your coach has a sixth sense about who is doing the job and who is going to make that happen. Yeah. Right. And so you need that coach to be the coach. And I don't know Sullivan, right? I don't know the man. Love him as a coach for the most part. And I think some of the frustration that we were having with Sullivan, like you said, Andrew, I think did stem from the general manager and
micromanaging,
maybe even not the general manager, maybe the president of hockey ops. That Brian Burke may have been part of the problem too.
Brian Burke looked very creepy, you know, just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow. Uncollar tie around his neck, very unbuttoned up, I guess.
Literally
and figuratively.
Very creepy uncle.
Yeah.
Why are we just slamming him all of a sudden?
Like Donald Trump.
But what I'm saying.
He kind of looked like Donald Trump. Let's be real.
What I'm saying.
He's huge.
What I'm saying is, though, that now that that Dubas has kind of got that hands-off approach to the to the coaching anyway. I think you're seeing, Sullivan being able to make some, I don't want to say drastic, but being able to make some different moves. Yeah. And again, these aren't drastic moves. They're minor course corrections. They're not like decisions that are going to blow guys out of the water. They're decisions that are helping the team form an identity that's going to be very helpful going forward.
And I think part of this was seen at the very beginning of the season, and we're seeing it now when Jeff Carter was moved to the wing of the fourth line, which people were saying all of last year, that's what you need to do because Carter's older, he's getting slower, and so put him with the fast guys on the fourth line.
And
he's thriving. He is doing very well. He's not turning pucks over.
He has scored 200% more goals than he did last year.
Five goals on the fourth line.
Yeah.
A
couple of those have been come on the power play. So not only on the fourth line, but and he's working very well with those bottom not the second tier power play.
Yeah. Which
I mean, we have guys who on our second who would start on any other team's first, you know, with Raquel and Rust, right? Or
Rust and Riley on that second.
Rust, Riley, and Letang. Yeah. Like those guys would start on any other team's
Carter,
power play.
Carter and Pustinen, which is a solid second.
Pustinen looked great on that first power play too.
Yeah, but now that Rusty's back, he takes it back. Look, but
obviously,
since we're on the power play, can I just say this? I want to say this because it's something that I have had on my mind, and you've heard me say it ad nauseum on this program.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, Sidney Crosby,
mm-hmm.
game-winning goal.
Yeah,
power play goal. Why?
Because he took a shot.
Because he took a shot.
Yes.
Shoot the puck. I loved what you sent that Vegas Golden Knights video from the reel from Instagram. Where whatever his name is.
I don't even
remember. He's going, okay, what we want to do is shoot the puck. Jack, what do we want to do? Shoot the puck.
When we
get into the zone and we're on a power play, what do we do? Shoot the puck. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's something.
Feel me, man. You feel me?
That's something I've been seeing that they're doing a lot more too on that power play. It's giving them success. They're actually taking shots. They're not always waiting for the pretty passing play.
Right.
But they're taking shots, and even 5-on-5. They're taking a lot more shots.
Well, and this is the thing, okay? Yes, they may get blocked. Yes, you know, the guy might save it. But the point is, shoot it.
Right, and they're not taking shots just to take shots. They're taking good shots.
Right.
And, like, making good decisions.
Last night, before the Carter goal, because it didn't count as a power play goal, but they had just gotten off the power play.
It was like 3 seconds after.
I heard the announcer say, because I watched the highlights today, because I didn't get to watch it, that we had 5 shots on 1 power play.
Oh! Mm-hmm.
Which we would go sometimes
5 power plays without a shot.
5 shots. Yeah, 5 shots on a power play.
Yeah. And this is totally off topic. Nothing to do with the power play, nothing to do with anything. But it was Steve Levy and Ray Ferraro on the broadcast last night.
Okay.
Yeah. Give me them every time.
Yes.
Give me them every time.
Ray Ferraro.
I mean,
why do we not do them?
I do agree.
We could do without. We could do without Emily Kaplan again.
She's gotten better.
Whatever.
She has. She's whatever. Not.
Is her name still Emily Kaplan?
Dad, why are you so hateful?
I don't like the way she bounces up and down.
I think she's gotten.
I don't even care about the bouncing. Her interviews are so entry level. So
vanilla.
Entry-level.
Because
vanilla.
Yes.
She's a beginner. She's never done this before.
No, she's not. She's been going
She's been
for
doing
like
it for 3 years.
Not
with at least 3 years.
For the NHL, she
years.
Has.
At
really?
Least yeah. 3 years. Yeah.
She's, oh, yeah. She
she's
was
been
on
there
ever
since ESPN took it back.
That's right.
Yeah.
And she's on their first team. If she was second or third team, you know, doing a third.
Yeah.
Third.
You're right. I forgot
I don't
about
care.
That.
But she's been at this for 4 years.
I feel like ESPN... Just
and she has not gotten any better.
No, she has not.
No, you're right.
But
she could stand to move
a
little bit more.
So shall we
don't put her on baseball. Sorry.
Shall we give Pittsburgh a grade for this week?
I think we should.
All right.
We should do this every week. I don't know why we don't.
Some weeks we do, some weeks we don't.
Abigail.
Was there any other games you wanted to talk about? Because I kind of wanted to talk about the Washington game.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, so the Washington.
I thought we did talk about the good Washington game.
Not really.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, I could we go on to, and on about the Boston game.
We talked about Ryan Graves in the Washington game.
Yeah, but the same problems that came up in the Washington game came up in the Boston game. Pittsburgh just was able to bounce back better in the Boston game. But in that Washington game, I noticed a lot, like, well, okay. So Washington got the first goal and Pittsburgh did nothing to respond. Right. And then they scored two more in the first period. And I think, was it 3-0 going into the intermission?
No, it was
3-1.
Oh, 4-1. 4-1. It was 4-1 going into the intermission, the first intermission.
Oh, that's right. Because, they pulled Jari like 10 minutes in, didn't they?
It was 3-1 or 3-0. Raquel scored a goal that got waved off because Crosby was offsides.
They pulled Jari after the third goal.
Yes, they did. And then they come back in and Pittsburgh scores one.
Yes.
And then 4 seconds left, Washington scores another. I'm sorry.
No.
After the waved off goal, Washington scored one with like a minute
power
left.
Play goal. Yep.
Then Rax scores. Or no, Crosby scores one. No,
Raquel.
Was it Rax?
It was Raquel scored at 1956.
Oh, I'm sorry. Chad Ruedel got the one that got waved off.
Yes.
Chad Ruedel scored the one that got waved off because Crosby was offsides. Raquel then scores with 4 seconds left in the period to make it 4-1 going into the first intermission. Sorry, okay. Go ahead. That's what happened.
But the thing that I saw in this Pittsburgh game, the problem is that we start so slow. We start so slow, and by the time that we actually find our feet, we're in a very tight spot. That's happened multiple times.
Multiple times.
Not just in the Boston and Washington games. The difference between the two games, Pittsburgh was able to find their groove and like fight back a lot better. And I think, personally, that was because of that third line and that fourth line that we're looking really good, and like even Achari was taking the body and like making it a gritty physical game against Boston, and that's not what we saw in Washington. We didn't see them come out with any sort of force until the second period, and so I think one of the major things that Sullivan's going to have to address is how they start games.
Well, they were outshot 11-6 in the first period, and then
against Boston or Washington
against Washington, and then they outshot Washington in the second and third, 29-11.
They were the better team for 40 minutes of that game.
Yeah.
They just could not find a way to score or to win the game.
Right.
Yeah. They were a better team in both Boston and Washington.
Which I was shook by because Boston's been good this year, but they came out and they were sloppy.
The problem, I agree with you that that's the problem with the Penguins, but there is another problem with the Penguins that reared its head in the Boston game that we're not discussing because they won.
Starting game.
And it's the fact that we were up 5-2.
I was just going to mention that. Yeah.
And somehow Boston tied it, and we were tied with 8 minutes left in the game.
Well, that had to do with a shorthanded goal that Chris Letang just gave Brad Marchand. That made me angry.
That is the problem. There's the problem. Well, Marchand is a beast on the back check.
Which you have to be aware of as a defenseman on a power play.
Yes, you do. Yep. Yes, you do.
Especially Chris Letang
in that like 5 seconds was the entire team that entire third period. They get out to a big lead.
Yep.
And they get lackadaisical. They're like, well, we're just going to coast to this now.
Yep.
Nedeljkovic is going to make every save that we need him to make.
Yep.
And he's just not. He's your backup for a reason. And that fourth goal that Trent Frederick scored,
yeah,
was 100% on Ned. There's no reason. There's no one on your back door, and there's no reason you should be that flat up against your goal. Get out, take away the angle. This goalie 101, I know that, and I don't even play hockey.
Yeah.
So, the team just got lazy.
Yeah, I noticed that, like, they were playing on their heels. They were playing to not lose. They weren't playing to win. And I'm like, it was when it was 5-4, Yeah. Or maybe it was after we scored the sixth goal. I was like, I'm very nervous right now because this team is a team that's just trying to not let Boston score.
Yep.
But you can't have that mentality, especially not with a team as slow and kind of iffy defensively as Pittsburgh has been. Yeah. You have to always be looking for another goal, no matter how big your lead is.
No doubt.
And if we play that way, we're not going to be able to handle the big dogs in the league, the Colorados, the Vegases, the Bostons, the Toronto, like the teams that can score in a drop of a hat.
Yeah, we're not going to, I mean, the playoffs, even if we do make it, we're going to bow out in the first round because every team is is good in the playoffs. Yeah. And so,
well, I mean, right now Arizona's in the playoffs. Well, would they, and I'm not saying they're not good, but can they score at a drop of a hat? That's the question. Do they have the firepower like those teams?
Here's the point. And this is something that I learned from my high school basketball coach, which happened to also be my father, your grandfather. But if we were up by 10 points, he wanted to be up by 12. If he was up by 15, he wanted to be up by 17. The idea is to win the rest of the game, right?
Yep.
If you're constantly trying to win the rest of the game, then you will win more games than you lose because your attitude is it's 0-0. It's always 0-0.
Yeah.
If you're up 6-0 in the third, it's still 0-0 and you need that next goal.
It's winning the moments. Yep. It's winning the battles on the boards. It's winning against it's getting on the back check and winning like blocking shots. It's that type of winning.
And some days you're going to play a team that's just flat out better than you. On that night, and you're not going to win the game, and that's fine. I have no problem with that. But if you are not busting your butt to win the moment, I like that, to win the moments, then you're going to lose more games than you win, and you're going to give up a lot of leads like the Penguins do. And I don't.
Yep.
And again, I think some of that is coaching, but I think most of that is leadership, don't you?
I think it's leadership. I think it's coaching, and I think it's age.
That's true.
Yeah,
and I agree 100%. Like, and we have guys who will win the moments. You have Nola Chari. I love Nola Chari.
I think he
was the best addition we made in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Better than Erik Karlsson.
Yes.
Right now, Erik Karlsson has not been playing up to his thing, and it's because we can't expect him to be San Jose Karlsson because San Jose Karlsson had the puck like 50% of the time.
Well, and San Jose Karlsson,
Pittsburgh Erik Karlsson has the puck 15% of the time because you have Letang, you have Crosby, you have Malkin, and you have guys who have more cachet than Erik Karlsson who will demand the puck. What are you going
to
say?
And they don't need Erik Karlsson to hold the puck that much.
Right.
And I think that was your point.
I would like to see Erik Karlsson take more shots though.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. But again, he's still trying to find out where he fits in this core that has been together for the core of the five guys that I would consider the core: Crosby, Malkin, Letang, Gensel, Rust. Those are our core guys.
Mm-hmm.
They've been together for about 8 years now, seven years.
Well, yeah, this is...
Has Rust and Gensel been the guys they are now? No, but Rust and Gensel have been on the team for about 5, 6, 7, 8 years. I can't remember when Rust became a full-time player.
Rust was in the 15-16.
Yeah.
No, the 15-16 run.
Was that his first year being full-time?
Yes.
Okay.
And then Gensel came up the next year, yes.
Yep. Well, he played a little bit in the 15-16 playoffs, I think. Did he not? No.
No, because
no, that was Sherry. Sorry.
Yeah, Connor Sherry.
But that's our core. And he's still trying to figure out how he's 1 year here and he's trying to meld in top line defensive men in a place that got the top three have been together for 16 years.
Do you think that's part
that's hard?
Do you think that's part of the problem? Do you think the fact that they've been together so long is just like they're not playing for their jobs?
It could be.
Because I feel like Letang is our least responsible defenseman, like defensively, out of all of our defensemen. You know what I mean? And I see it specifically in Letang, but I've seen it in moments in Gino too. Not so much in Sid. Sid plays the game the right way.
Sid this year, Sid has as great as he's been, he has made some idiotic mistakes.
And I've
noticed them.
This made me so mad. Speaking of idiotic mistakes by Crosby, let's talk about it. Boston game. Jeremy Swayman comes out to make a save. He's completely out of the net. He's lost. He slides 3 feet away from the crease. Sidney Crosby has the puck behind the net. What does he do?
Passes.
He holds on to it. He doesn't even pass. He holds on to it until Swayman gets back in the crease. And then he passes to Gensel. Gensel takes a cruddy shot. I don't even know if the shot hit the net. I honestly think it went wide. But he had it behind his net. He held on to it for like 3 seconds, 5 seconds. And oh, that made me mad. I'm like, Sid, pass the puck.
Question.
As much.
Pass the puck.
Question. Did that make you mad?
Yes.
As much frustration as we have had with this team, though, this last week was really, really good.
It was very good.
Outside of the first period against Washington and the third period against
the Boston
Bruins, they have played really well.
Really well.
In my opinion.
So let's grade them.
Yes.
Let's grade them, yeah.
Andrew, you give us your grade first.
A minus. Fair. I can't. We won Boston, so the third period didn't come back to bite us. The first period against Washington definitely bit us because we were the better team 45 minutes of that game.
Yes. Agreed.
And we just couldn't. Washington is a pretty decent team, and they're not going to give up a full goal lead. Pittsburgh, they would probably give up a 4-goal lead, but that's neither here nor there.
They gave up a 3-goal lead.
This is true.
They did. But the Boston game, we ended up winning, so I can give them a minus for it, but I'm not going to dock them. And then the Islanders, we own the Islanders this year for some reason.
That is amazing to me.
Which is huge for standings.
Yeah, and they've been Pittsburgh killers. Mm-hmm. And
historically,
yeah.
Yeah. And the St. Louis Blues, you know, they're average and we beat them. So, but I'm really excited that we beat the Islanders and the Bruins the way we did.
A minus
from Andrew. Abigail?
I would say B+. I did not like a lot of the looks that we got. And I want better goaltending from Jari. Like those three goals that Washington scored, like I don't think honestly any of them were really entirely his fault. Like
there was one I can't remember, but
the Tom Wilson one at the very beginning was kind of point blank. He probably should have had that one, but in all honesty, why are you giving up a breakaway 45 seconds into the game? So
55, but yeah,
whatever. Like,
he's a stickler for
anyways,
the details.
I want to see better goaltending from Jari. I fear that maybe Ned getting these starts is messing with his head a little bit, maybe.
I hope not.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think Jari understands that he's not playing the way he's capable of playing, and I think Jari will.
But the problem is, outside of the Washington game, the last few starts that he's had, he has played really well. But we started Ned. Did we start him against the Islanders?
Watch that one.
No, we started him against I can't remember, but like we haven't, like I think Jari has been playing really well and we just haven't been starting him.
I think Jari got the shutout in the 7-0 win against.
Yes, he did.
The Islanders, but I think he also, Ned played in the 7-0 loss to Toronto, I think is what it was. And then they put Jari in. And I think that's when they made the switch from Ned to Jari again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then now since Jari had the bad game in Washington, they're switching back. They're just riding the hot goalie, which isn't necessarily bad.
But Jari, you're paying him like a starter. You have to start him.
But maybe they're trying the tandem thing. Why do you have to start him if Ned can start half the game?
Here's
because Ned is not as good as Jari.
Ned's doing pretty well.
The statistics don't really bear that out because if you look at let me call this up here a second. As we look at goalie stats, let me get down here. Here we go. So save percentage, they're even. Actually, Ned's slightly better. 917 to Jari's 912. Goals against, Jari's a tad bit better at 2.58 to Ned's 2.62. So okay,
that's gonna happen when you have two times as many starts that Jari does. your stats are going to be a bit.
No.
Larger sample size.
But what I'm saying though, yes, and I agree. But what I'm saying is that these two guys, and maybe I'm being overly picky, but I think what we have here are the same goalie. These guys are the same goalie, statistically speaking. And if you go into the deeper statistics, quality saves, Ned's slightly better. Go ahead, Ebs.
Yeah, but Jari has a point. So,
well, that's true. He has a goal.
That's true.
But
not in the AHL.
I do think too that we might be entering more into a goalie tandem era in the NHL because you see so many guys riding singular. Or so many teams that have ridden singular goalies, and those goalies burn out. Like, come playoff time, they're nowhere to be found. Or vice versa, I guess, if you're Sergei Bobrovsky. But...
yes.
I think that maybe what Sully is thinking is that we could possibly have a Boston situation in which we have two goalies that really mesh well together, work well together, understand their roles, like... They're equally important to this organization and to winning as a team.
Yeah.
And so if that's the mindset, which I sincerely hope it is, then Jari and Ned are going to help each other get better as opposed to seeing it as a competition. And while I understand that Jari's getting paid a lot more than Ned, if they can produce equally as well, why not start them half and half? You know what I mean? I don't mind Ned getting starts if he can win games. And he has proven that he can, for the most part.
I liked Ned Delkovich just as much as you guys, maybe a little more, and you know that. I defended him when we signed him.
Yeah.
But the eye test is Ned is a backup. He is not a starter in the league, and Tristan Jarry is a high-end starter. And I know what the numbers say, but the eye test shows Tristan Jarry is where he's supposed to be for the most part when he needs to be. The defense just stops playing as hard when Jari's in net as opposed to Nedeljkovic. And that is,
that could be, I think that's true. I think you're right.
And Jari gets hung out to dry.
Yeah.
Because you
yeah.
look like Ned has faced a crazy amount of shots for only playing 13 games.
Right.
Like I don't, he's got like 400 shots against him in 13 games. That's about almost 35 a piece per game, maybe more.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
So
I don't know. Like,
doesn't that mean the defense would be playing worse if they're letting more shots through?
But then you look at Jar Jar and he's made about the same, like, I don't know.
Huh?
It's,
I don't know, guys.
It's crazy. I don't know. I think for me, okay. I'll just say this. I think that this team, that if, and I still don't believe this is a playoff team yet, but if by some chance this team makes the playoffs, I like our chances. I do. I mean, I like, let me back up. I like our goaltending situation if we make it to the playoffs.
I agree.
Because if Jari goes down, I think Ned is more capable than Casey DeSmith.
Yes. Unfortunately, yeah. Yes.
I think I like the tandem that we would have going into these playoffs over what we had the last time we went into the playoffs.
No, and Hellberg is a huge upgrade from Louis Domingue. That's all I gotta say.
Well, that's true.
And who's our fourth guy? Joel Blomqvist?
Blomqvist.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
He's been really good in the AHL, his stats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's good. So anything else? All
right. I do want to say one thing.
I didn't give my grade.
Give your grade, and then I just want to say something NHL related.
I would say that my, you know, as I looked at what happened this week, I would give them a B+ to A- range. I agree with both of you. I think the team played well this week. I think, like Andrew said, I think that the 20 minutes combined of first period Washington, third period Boston, out of the 240 minutes played, good. The majority of those minutes were good minutes for the team, and they looked like they should be playing at the pace that they're playing. And so I'm looking. They beat St. Louis, which is a team they should have beaten. They beat Boston, which in some ways I think is a team they probably shouldn't have beaten. They beat the Islanders, which for some reason we have their number this year, which I will take, because we never beat them consistently in a season. And then we lost to Washington, which now I'll give you, that's a team we should have beaten. I believe that's a team we should have beaten, but to Andrew's point, they're a better team than they were at the beginning of the season. And so, I'll give them somewhere in that B++, A- range, somewhere in that, like maybe if I could go right between you two, I think that's where I'd go. Good week for the Pens.
Okay.
Very good week.
One thing I would like to talk about last night during the broadcast of the NHL
on ESPN,
they announced the All-Stars, the first 16 from each conference. Okay. All-Stars.
Now
Marcus Pettersson deserves an All-Star nod.
They're doing this fantasy, right? The fantasy draft thing.
Well, yes, at the All-Star game they will.
Right.
Right. But this is just, they're doing the same thing, one player per team, which I hate that. Because, Boone Jenner's going for Columbus.
Are you, Cam Talbot's going for LA. Is he really an All-Star this year?
And Tom, he's the best starting goalie in the league right now, numbers wise. But
Talbot?
Yeah. Tom Wilson is going over Alexander Ovechkin.
Which this year?
Yeah, yes. I'd say yes.
Yes, but Boone Jenner is going in the Metro over Alex Ovechkin.
Yeah.
And that's what we get. And Matt Barzal, who's had an average season at best.
Barzal has had a pretty good year.
Has he? I haven't heard anything about
him. He's bounced. He's had a quiet, not a All-Star season, but a pretty good season stats-wise.
And I think one player per team just feels rough.
It's wrong.
Because
not every team has an All-Star.
No, because you got Robert Thomas, Clayton Keller, Frank Vetrano, Thomas Hurdle, who's whatever, Oliver Bjorkstrand. Like, you have so many better players that people want to see more. I don't want to see Travis Konechny. And now Konechny's had a really good year. He deserves it. I don't want to see that. I want to see Ovechkin. You know what I mean?
From Philly,
I don't want to see Sam Reinhart at a All-Star game. I want to see Matthew Tkachuk.
Okay. Sam Reinhart is ninth in the league in points.
I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. But I just get frustrated because, the All-Star games is also for fans.
Yes. Yeah.
You want the best of the best. Yeah. And yes, maybe Ovechkin's having an off year, but he's the best of the best.
Yeah. This is seriously only Crosby's sixth All-Star appearance?
Yeah. But
how did that happen?
You've had Gino, who's gone.
He's been injured.
And he hasn't gone a couple times because he was
injured. That's true.
Okay, Matt Barzal's 25th in the league in points. Robert Thomas is 20th. So, like, some of these guys deserve. But other guys, like you were saying, Bjorkstrand, not even top 50. So
Elias Lindholm, who's going to be flipped at the deadline.
Yeah, like this is it's terrible.
It's awful.
It's awful.
Because you want Draisaitl in there too.
Yeah.
Oh, he'll get in fan vote.
He'll get in the fan vote.
He will. And so will like Willie Nylander. He'll make it in because Toronto's a ginormous market. Like Artemi Panarin will make it in because it's a large market. Yeah. But it's just
listen, NBA does it 100% correct. Okay. Let the fans choose all of them.
Yep.
Yes.
Let the fans choose all of them. Then do this draft that they're doing, right? Right. East versus West, I believe, is what they're doing. That is fun.
Are they
The draft is awesome.
So are they playing 3v3 or are they playing?
It's 3v3.
Are they playing?
Oh, they might be doing 5-on-5.
5-on-5.
If it's
but
just
it's
two
the
teams.
Fantasy draft. You get two guys and they pick. And
right.
Like
they've done it before.
One captain from the East, one captain from the West. Yeah. And then they can pick anybody out of anything.
Right.
So like if Quinn Hughes gets the captaincy, he can vote Jack Hughes to be on his team. And we have the Quinn brother, the Hughes brothers playing.
Which right. is legendary.
Which is awesome.
That'll be so fun.
That would
you
be
could
fun.
Have Sidney Crosby playing with Connor McDavid and Connor Bedard. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is
I'll
awesome.
Take that. I would but take like, that team.
But like having one all-star, it just loses the idea of an all-star. Who is an all-star? Like Oliver Bjorkstrand is not an all-star. Boone Jenner, not an all-star.
They're great players. They're awesome. But the all-star is the like, best of the best.
With me doing this top 45 list, right, that we're going to get to in a little bit, I'm looking and like some of these guys who put up monster points only have two all-star appearances because they were not like.
You were on a team with a lot of good players.
But now Boone Jenner has more all-star appearances than Paul Coffey. And it's like, what the heck are we doing?
Yeah. It's yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's bugged me.
Anyway, moving on.
Okay.
More about the Let's NHL All-Star Weekend will continue once it actually happens in February.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll return with random crap we want to talk about today in a little bit. But first, let's hear from DraftKings Sportsbook.
Bet the action on the ice with DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings Sportsbook is my go-to for sports betting, and they have unbelievable lines like Pittsburgh favored by 1.5 goals against the Buffalo Sabres and Vancouver favored by the same amount against the New Jersey Devils. I love those bets. Download the app now and use code THPN. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. That's code THPN. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.com. Net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gamblings. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2023. All rights reserved.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And now it's time for everybody's favorite segment. Random crap we want to talk about today. And here's your host, Andrew Augustine.
All right. Thank you, guys. As we talked about last week, I wanted to do this for a little bit. And I was like, why not start at the new year? So we have the top 45 players of the last 45 years from 79 when the NHL merged with the WHL. And we're just going to go from here. It's basically, it's very scientific. I have taken points. I've taken personal awards. I've taken Stanley Cups. I've taken playoff appearances. I've taken how many teams you played on and just combined them all, weighted them differently. And then we have this piled mess, as you guys can see on your screen. People at home, you can't see it, but you can check it out on the website. I did a lot of work on this. I'm very proud of it, but please don't rip me to shreds.
I'll only rip you into like a couple
Abby
shreds.
Abby and Jim can rip me into shreds because that's their job. But you guys get to hear the first five on the list from 45 to 41. It's mostly guys who have played in the last 20 years here on the bottom. Gotcha. It is all guys who have played in the last 20 years. But with that being said, number 45, do we have any guesses?
No.
Number 45.
I have no frame of 45. Reference for where you're starting. So maybe for the Phil next
Kessel.
One.
Ooh. Oh, wait, I do have honorable mentions, and Phil is one of them. Phil Kessel is an honorable mention. Another honorable mention is Marc-Andre Fleury. He did not make the cut. Eric Lindros and Joe Thornton, as well as Dennis Savard, all were on the chopping block.
Patrick Marleau?
Because all these guys in front of pardon?
Is Patrick Marleau 45?
Patrick Marleau's not on the list, no.
Okay,
so, he's not even an honorable mention?
So
Penn's no. Legend?
So let me ask you this question.
Yes.
How do I put this?
Are you upset that Phil Kessel didn't make the list?
No. What's like the balance of forwards, defensemen, and goalies?
Good question. There are, I believe I have six goalies on the list. Some defensemen and then mostly forwards, I believe. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
But you will get one goalie here in the bottom five. Okay. So, number 45 is from your Pittsburgh Penguins, Chris Letang. Chris Letang made the list, but barely. Again, he was up in the air. Phil Kessel was on the list until I remembered someone that I didn't have up there and moved him way up. Not Phil Kessel, this guy way up. So, but Chris Letang was 44. But 45, Chris Letang was the best defenseman on two Stanley Cup champions. He's won three, been to four. He has 717 points in his career, still going. So those numbers may be off after last night. I'm not sure. But he averaged, I did the math, he averages about 55 points per 82 games he plays.
Which is good for a defenseman.
Very good for a defenseman. And as a defenseman, he has a plus 97 for his career. And that is with about 25 minutes of ice time per night over his career. He's a two-time All-Star. He should be three. He's on my ballot for this year. He won the Masterson last year.
Yes.
So something, and again, I told you guys, taking this into account, how many times you make the playoffs with your teams that you're on compared to how many seasons you played, and he's made it every year since last year. Okay? Besides last year, from 06 to 07. That's 16 years. Okay?
That's impressive. Absolutely.
It's very, very impressive. And so all that to make Chris Letang my 45th player, edging out guys like Phil Kessel, like I said, Eric Lindros, Marc-Andre Fleury.
People are going to be mad at you for not adding Lindros.
I'm not.
What?
Not that I care, but people are going to be mad.
You don't think Lindros is top 45?
I do not think Lindros is top 45.
A lot of people think he's like one of the best Red Wings ever. So.
Okay, there are
Lindros?
More. There are,
no, he's a Flyer, isn't he?
Yeah.
I was thinking, isn't there a Lindros who played for him?
No.
Please cut that out.
Lindholm.
For the Red Wings?
Yeah, there was a Lindholm that played for the Red Wings.
I don't know.
Anyway, but continue.
Never mind.
This one, cut that out. I almost cut out this guy. I almost cut out because he played for Michigan State for his college career.
Ew.
I didn't.
Disgusting.
But that would be three-time NHL champion Duncan Keith. He was a Spartan, and he played 1 year for the Edmonton Oilers. So that's why he's in the Oilers jersey, just to throw you guys off. But the man was the best defenseman on three Stanley Cup championship-winning teams.
Well, the same
and
team.
A two-time – well, they were different teams. There were different players on that team.
Yes, but I mean, Chicago. He's retired. He retired 3 years ago.
He's retired. First retiree. He also won two Norris trophies in his time in the league, plus three All-Stars, and something that Chris Letang does not have, a Conn Smythe. He averaged a total of 38 points in his 17-year career per season, not altogether.
I was going to say, that's not very many.
Yeah. And the reason he's a bit lower is because he's played with two teams as opposed to sticking with one team. I did take into effect, not just because you played on a lot of teams knocks you, but like he chose to leave Chicago. So that's why he's...
Well, Chicago was kind of choosing to like lean more into the rebuild phase too.
Well, yes, and he wanted out. So like that's all I'm going to say. He made the playoffs 11 times in his career, which was 16 years. like, or 17 years, excuse me. And he averaged around 14 games per season in the playoffs. All that means that Duncan Keith is our 44th player on the list. And next up is teammate of Duncan Keith, three-time Stanley Cup champion, Jonathan Taves.
I said Jonathan Taves.
This man captained the Blackhawks to, again, three Stanley Cup champions, winning the Conn Smythe in their first of those three. And he's won a Selke and a Messier and once appeared in the All-Star game. Only once. I didn't realize that.
Well, because Patty Kane was on that team too. But I do have a question about Jonathan Taves. Is he retired?
I believe injuries have caused him to retire. I believe he has announced that.
Because they had said last year that that would be his last year with the Blackhawks.
Yeah, I think he retired.
I wasn't sure if he like retired from the entire league or if he was like planning on going somewhere else. Because I wasn't sure if he was a free agent now.
If he's still a free agent out there, Pittsburgh should pick him up.
No, we don't need Ed to be any older.
Up the old age. So Jonathan Taves was constantly putting up 50 points, only having three seasons where he did not have 50. And two of those were two of his last years with the Blackhawks, where he struggled with injuries.
Well, and with a very young team that couldn't do
anything. And young team and COVID. So that also messed
true.
Up.
Also true.
Yeah. Taves was one of the premier two-way forwards in his time. And if it wasn't for Patrice Bergeron and Anze Kopitar, he'd probably have three or four more Selkies. He's finished in the Selke voting seven seasons in the top five.
There you go.
So pretty cool. Why is Taves so low, you may ask? Because he only won championships with two other guys who are also on this list. And so that kind of goes against you if you have teammates who are on the ice. Hence why Chris Letang is so low as well, because Malkin and Crosby are also on this list.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay, number 42. So,
42 is, I went backwards. Andre Vasilevsky.
All the way at 42?
All the way at 42. Well, I mean, this is 45 years.
Yeah,
Andre Vasilevsky has only played eight seasons, I believe, is what it is. Let me check
here. He's a lot younger than I thought he was.
Sorry, 10 years. Came into the league in 14, 15. But then he wasn't like a full-time starter then. Andre Vasilevsky personally piloted the Tampa Bay Lightning to two Stanley Cups wins. And
back
you
to
can
back.
Argue all you want. He was the motor that drove that team.
I agree.
He's still very young, and he may have four or five more years, so he may move up this ladder. But he's only at age 42 right now. His numbers... 271 wins, 131 losses, 33 shutouts, excuse me, and a 2.454 goals against and a 918 save percentage. These are the lowest numbers or the highest numbers, I guess, in goalie stats
of
all the goalies on this list.
Yeah.
But his postseason results will speak for himself with a 2.33 goals against and a 917 save percentage in 19 games played in the playoffs or in the Stanley Cup finals. Yeah. Those are final numbers, excuse me.
I'll say this about Andre Vasilevsky.
When
he was kind of forced into service in the 2016 playoffs.
Yeah, 15-16.
When Ben Bishop went down in that, I think it was the first or second game against the Penguins, and he. He pushed Pittsburgh to the brink. In fact, they were up in that series 3-2, and I thought Pittsburgh was done. I didn't think Pittsburgh could win two straight, and they wound up winning that game in Tampa, and then of course came back and won it in Pittsburgh. But
I think I watched that series with you. I think that was the first series that I joined you with.
And that was incredible. But Vasilevsky, ever since then, has been. He's one of my favorite goaltenders in the league. I love watching him because he's always in the right place. He's always doing the right thing. He's not like Jari in the sense where he'll antagonize the other team. He just does his business and then skates away. Which I like. And so, yeah. I like Vasilevsky at 42.
Yeah. I didn't even talk about his personal stats. I mean, he's got a Vezina, he's a 2-time All-Star, and he won the Conn Smythe in the 2021 season.
Yep.
And in his 10 years playing, the Lightning have only missed the playoffs twice.
There you go.
So That being said, and finally, at 4:01 and wrapping up today's list, we have, oops, again, backwards, Mike Madonna.
Mike Madonna.
The one guy so far that I never saw play, Mike Madonna. Madonna played his entire career for Dallas / Minnesota, except for the final year where he played for the Detroit Red Wings. His numbers, though, are staggering. He's got 1,374 points. 461 of those are goals. 813 of those are assists. Plus, he made it to 3 Stanley Cup finals, but only won one in which they beat Hasek, who's further up on this list, in 98-99,
yep.
And the Buffalo Sabres. The Stanley Cup winning season, Madonna had 81 points in 77 games, which led the entire team in that department. And that's saying something because he had Joe Nieuwendijk and Brett Hull on that team alongside him.
Yep.
So Mike Madonna is here at 41. And plus he had 10 of his 15 seasons where he scored over 50 points and 15 seasons where he put over 50 points and 10 seasons where he scored over a point per game. So Madonna is at 41. Guys, rip it to shreds if you want.
No, I
think I will probably rip this to shreds once I've seen the whole thing, you know, because I don't have any point of reference. I don't have any point of reference, you know, or like maybe once we get like 10 or 12 or like 15 more in where I'm like, I think you could have put Taves a little higher or you could have like dropped Taves off this list entirely and put someone else on there. Not just beating up on Taves, but, you know, like other players, I think moving it around.
I have no issue with who you have here.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, I really don't. And I'll be interested to see who the other goalies you have over Vasilevsky are. But again, you know, I assume as we go up the list, there are going to be more and more retired guys on here.
There are a surprising amount of retired guys. Yeah.
So yeah, then we'll be able, I mean, and it's difficult to put guys who are still playing on a list this because you don't know the scope of their impact on the game.
Yep.
So
I think if I remember, I mean, I know my list very well, but I believe I only have about 3 guys who are really young just because it's hard to, and you could probably guess who those are, but I have very few guys who are actually still playing. Obviously, Crosby and Ovi are on here, Malkin. But, some guys who just recently retired, some guys who are not. And, you know, I may be spoiling it, but,
okay. Anyway. Cool. Well,
that's the list.
That's a good start. We'll look forward to some more of these. So that's great.
I'm looking forward to this. I was tweaking it up until about an hour before we started podcasting, so...
Well, that's been Random Crap We Want to Talk About Today. Thank you, Andrew, for putting that together for us. We look forward to next week when we hear 40 through
36. Oh,
36. Yeah. So good job. We'll give you a round of applause for that for sure. Yeah. Thank you. Nice. Thank you. All right. So let's move on to prediction contest.
Yes. Please.
Bruh.
When it wasn't a bra for me, I had a pretty decent week for Andrew.
I'm bra for all of us, right? I mean, that's a good thing. So here's where we're standing in the prediction contest as a team, all three of us together. This week we went 7-15, so a little less than 50%, which is not good. But overall, we're right at just about at 50%, 91 for 180, so a little over 50.6%. So statistic or percentage wise, Jim is leading the pack, 53.3%. Abby is in second with 51.7, and Andrew is in third with 46.7. But the standings were only a point apart from first to second, and another point from second to third. So we've got Andrew is, OK, Okay. Andrew has 31 points, Jim has 32, and Abby has 33 after last week. Now, here's what happened. So last week, Detroit beat Nashville. Jim picked Nashville, so he didn't get a point, but Abby and Andrew both got a point. Andrew was very close
to getting to the correct score.
Yes, he picked 5-5. He said 5-3, but it wound up being 5-4 overtime.
Yes. All I'm going to say is that strategy that I did last week worked for me, where I said I've picked Nashville too much and they've always me down. That's so true. I went to Detroit and
it was a close one. Nashville is not a good choice in predictions. They just never do the thing. No,
they never do the thing.
They've been doing better, but just on those games that we predict, they never do it.
Yeah, so. They don't. The second game we picked was the St. Louis at Pittsburgh game. Andrew actually picked that game perfect. He said Pittsburgh would win it 4-2, and Pittsburgh won 4-2.
Okay, give me credit. I said Pittsburgh 4-1, and I was half dead at the time when I said all these things.
So. And Jim picked Pittsburgh as well. So we all got a point. Andrew got 3 for that game.
Give me that.
Boom. And then Vegas at Seattle. Jim was the only one who got Seattle. He said Seattle won 3-2, but they won 3-0. So he got a point on that one.
Why is it that winter classics are just embarrassing?
Well, it's because they're playing outside.
It's just
not embarrassing for Seattle.
Not embarrassing for Seattle, but embarrassing for Vegas. Because Seattle's been meh this year.
Yeah, but
still. They've gotten better.
Montreal at Dallas was the fourth game we picked this week. We all picked Dallas. Montreal wound up winning that game 4-3.
That made me crazy. Angry.
That was very sad. And then Pittsburgh at Boston. Andrew was the only one who believed that Pittsburgh would win it, and they did 6-5, and he got the point for that game. So good week 13.
For Andrew.
And, it wasn't a bad week. I mean, Two for five.
You're still in last place, bud.
Yeah.
I'm gaining ground.
Slowly but surely.
Don't get so full of yourself, bud.
I'm not full of myself.
It's all good. It's all good.
I mean, I'm just full.
You're full of something. Anyway, so this week we have five games this week, and here are our games. We are picking the Buffalo at Pittsburgh game for Saturday the 6th. At 7 p.m. Detroit at Anaheim Sunday the 7th at 8. Dallas at Minnesota Monday the 8th at 8 o'clock. Vancouver at the Islanders the 9th, Tuesday the 9th at 7:30. And Boston at Vegas on the 11th at 10 p.m. That's going to be a late game. But Abby, you are in the lead, so you get to pick first for these games. So Buffalo at Pittsburgh, who you got?
I have Pittsburgh winning 4-2. I always take into account, never mind. It doesn't matter. But Buffalo's been rough this year. That's about all.
Buffalo has been rough.
I just want to say that my predictions at the beginning of the year when I said Buffalo would win the cup, super uneducated. Let's just say that Abby should not gamble.
Don't gamble. It does not become you. Second place is me. I'm going to pick Pittsburgh as well. I think they will win it 5-2. Andrew, who you got?
I know. I have Pittsburgh by a score of 4-3 in overtime?
Question mark?
Yes, in overtime.
Okay. Detroit at Anaheim. This is a West Coast game on Sunday. Abby, who you have?
I have Anaheim winning 3-2 in overtime.
Nice. Now, if it goes to overtime, you and I are going to be
at odds with one another.
Because I picked Detroit to win this game 3-2 in overtime. So if it's 2-2 at the end of 60,
we are in
somebody
trouble.
Is going to get 5 points. Somebody's going to get only two.
It's got to be me, man.
We'll see.
McTavish has that clutch air.
Mason McTavish is a giant B.
Andrew, who you got in this game?
Which game?
Anaheim. Detroit at Anaheim.
Oh, Anaheim. Duh. I have Detroit score 3-1.
Oh, I thought you said Anaheim. Duh. I thought that was your choice.
No. Okay. No, sorry. No.
Next game is on Monday. Dallas at Minnesota Abby, who you got?
Dallas. Duh. 4-1. Dallas 4-1.
4-1.
That's a copyright suit. Just waiting to happen.
I've got Minnesota winning this game, believe it or not.
You're ridiculous. You're insane. Kaprizov is injured.
2-1.
Oh.
2-1. I'm not saying they're going to score a butt ton of goals.
Can I tell you something, though?
But I think Minnesota wins this game 2-1.
Well, Ottinger's injured, too. But he's supposed to be like, coming back soon. But I will say.
Will you say?
Minnesota was playing the Jets. I don't know if you saw this video or not. Cole Perfetti was talking to the media, and he was mic'd up for that game. Kaprizov gets hit in the corner. Perfetti had nothing to do with it. Hartman and Perfetti go up to take a face-off. Ryan Hartman says to the mic'd up Perfetti, he's like, don't take it this the wrong way, bud, but I got to do this to you. So I'm just going to, and he high sticks him in the face. And he meant to do it, 100% intentional. Says it to the hot mic. I'm gonna high stick you or whatever. Or maybe he said it after the fact. But he admitted to doing it intentionally to the mic'd up Perfetti, who had nothing to do with the hit on Kaprizov. He's just like, yeah, I have to do this because of what happened to Kaprizov.
This is hockey.
But
this is why hockey is awesome.
That is wrong. There should be disciplinary action because you're not supposed to high stick people.
Hey, no.
Hey. Don't pansy up. That's what the PWHL pansying. Is for.
I'm not.
That's funny. Okay. Andrew, right, who you
I'm
got?
I'm just joking. Abby's so offended right now.
Who you got, Andrew, in this game?
Abby, I'm just joking.
I know.
I love the PWHL as much as you do. I have Dallas winning 4-2.
4-2.
Anyways, I thought that was funny.
That is
and
funny.
A little bit weird that he would admit to that.
Yeah, well.
And that maybe probably, there should have been maybe a little bit more.
It is what
of
it is.
Something.
It is what
That's
it is.
That's all that
okay.
I was saying.
Moving on to
you
Tuesday.
You shouldn't admit if you meant to do it. Just don't.
He probably didn't know that Perfetti was mic'd up.
But they like, tell the guys. They tell the guys before the game which players are mic'd up. He must have just forgotten.
Tuesday, 7:30.
Or he didn't care.
Vancouver at New York Islanders. Abby, who you got?
Andrew's
in this game?
Vancouver Canucks.
Yes.
Vancouver's coming off a back-to-back in this game against the Rangers, which is going to be a really tough game, which means that Thatcher's not going to be starting for them in this game against the Islanders.
Probably.
I always take into account back-to-backs.
AC freaking
So I'm going to say that the New York Islanders are going to win this game 4-3.
4-3, huh?
Yep. I had overtime written down, but I scratched it out.
I have New York Islanders winning this game as well.
I love Vancouver.
4-2-2.
Oh, okay.
Andrew, who you got?
I'm putting all my eggs in the basket named Casey frickin' DeSmith. Okay. And I'm going to say Vancouver demolishes the New York Island gals by a score
the fishermen.
Of 7.
Oh,
0.
What?
You're joking.
Wow. You are drinking Drano. Okay. Moving on to the next one. We have Boston at the Vegas Golden Knights. Abby, who do you have winning this game?
Vegas is also coming off a back-to-back after this game. I always take into account back-to-back.
You always take into
always.
Account.
Always.
Why are you giving us all your little
Because
notes
you guys
on
already have your things written down. I don't care.
It's true.
I'm just letting you know. I'm defending my stance. So I'm going to say Boston's going to win this game by a score of 2-0. Although, it'll be interesting because I don't even know. Aiden Hill, is that their starting goaltender? Vegas?
Yes.
And then who's their backup? Is it Logan Thompson?
No clue. Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
So, I mean, both of those guys are kind of average. But when you're playing with as good a defense as Vegas has, it doesn't matter. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I just think Boston's going to win. I don't think it has anything to do with goaltending. I think it's just tiredness. So.
I think Vegas wins. I think Boston's goaltending as of late has been shaky. I think Vegas's goaltending is not great, but they also have, in my opinion, a better defense. I think Vegas wins this game 5-2.
Dang.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry, Andrew.
Logan Thompson is the starter. Aiden Hill is the backup.
Oh, okay. But Andrew, you see there how I didn't go against your team this time? So quit crapping
that.
On me and saying that you I never vote for your team.
I did not say that.
You
I
did.
Just said
you
stop.
Literally said that.
Stop hating
said,
against Vancouver.
Stop hating against my team is what you said.
That's what I said.
Hate
my
on
team.
Your teams.
Not my teams. my team. You also picked Pittsburgh. So.
I don't hate Vancouver. I love Vancouver. They're just on a back-to-back, and I don't think Casey DeSmith is going to make
it. And you think the Islanders are going to be better than the...
If they're starting Sorokin, then yeah.
Sorokin is Swiss cheese. He got lit up for seven goals against the Penguins. Okay. And three and again against the Penguins.
Who do you like in this game, though, Andrew? Boston.
I like Boston, man.
He always liked Boston.
The Bruins, man.
Boston.
The Bruins that everyone thought would take a step back this year.
Including me. Again. Everyone. Also, guys.
Because they got Smart Pack.
If you want to hear a really fun episode of our podcast, go back to our preseason predictions for 2022-2023, where you can hear me make one of the biggest L's of a take, where I said the Boston Bruins would come, I believe, in sixth place in the Atlantic right before they went on this terrifying tear and made like got like 67 wins or something like this.
Historic.
And like
it was historic. It was historic. So do you have a score for this game?
Sorry, I'm just saying if you want to go listen to that, go. Yeah. Yeah, I have Boston over Vegas 3-2 in the overtime.
All right. All right. So here's what we got for week 14. Buffalo at Pittsburgh. All of us are picking Pittsburgh. Andrew 4-3 in overtime. Abby 4-2. Jim 5-2. Detroit at Anaheim. Andrew and Jim are both taking Detroit. Andrew 3-1. Jim 3-2 in overtime. Abby's taking Anaheim 3-2 in overtime. Dallas at Minnesota. Andrew and Abby are both taking Dallas 4-2 and 4-1 respectively. Jim is taking Minnesota 2-1. Vancouver at New York Islanders. Andrew's taking Vancouver to win by a whopping 7-0 score. Jim and Abby are both taking the Islanders. Abby 4-3, Jim 4-2. Boston at Vancouver. Abby and Andrew are both taking Boston. Abby at 2-0. Andrew 3-2 in overtime. And Jim is taking Vegas to win that game 5-2. And that, my friends, is your prediction contest.
Just clarifying, yeah. Boston is playing in Vancouver against the Knights.
In Vegas against the Knights. Did I say Vancouver?
You said Vancouver.
I apologize. Because
I didn't know if it was like a, you know,
because
I don't know, outdoor thing for
Jim Vegas. Is a moron. So anyway.
You're not a moron. I was just clarifying.
I make mistakes too.
One thing that I want to say while I'm wearing my Canada hat. For those of you who are just listening, I have this Canada hat. Ooh. And I'm wearing it in consolation.
Ooh.
I'm wearing it in consolation for the kids at the World Juniors. Feel real bad about that. That was brutal.
You kidding me?
I mean, they should play better.
I mean, yes, but also like everyone had kind of high expectations. You always have high expectations for Team Canada at the World Juniors. And Czechia just came out and
handed it to him.
No, they played a very good game. Like, it was a very good back and forth game. But then right there, like 18 seconds, I think it was left in the game. And they just pop a five-hole cheese. Czechia does. And it was a terrible goal to let in. Mm. And, yeah, they win the game in regulation, which is just
US,
brutal.
The U.S. is going to the gold medal game.
So yeah, against Sweden, the hometown boys. So that'll be a really fun game.
That'll be fun.
Really
when
fun.
Do they play?
Today.
Today? Nice.
Today Friday or tomorrow?
For you guys.
Friday.
Who are listening.
Friday.
So I think it's today. Friday.
Is it Friday?
By the time the podcast comes out,
we'll know
US
who won
will
the
already
world.
Have won gold. So
yeah.
You heard it here first. We're recording Friday, January 5th at 3:45 p.m.
If the U.S. doesn't win, I'll be really sad. But do you know?
I don't know. Prophecy, I guess.
Sweden has like 7 silver medals in the World Juniors. They have like a ton. Maybe not 7, but they have a ton of silvers in the World Juniors.
Yeah. All right.
But
all right.
For those of you who watch international hockey.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this explosive and entertaining episode of the Pens and Stuff podcast. It's not normally like this, so don't get your hopes up. come back next week where we will be also getting, 40 through 36 of my top 40 in the last 45 in the last 45. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Abby.
Let's go Pens.
Let's go Penguins.
Let's freaking go.
Also, make sure to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, please. Thank you.
And thank you.
PWHO.
Yeah, that's also electric.
They're so sick. The women are so much faster than the men. It is so fun. Because they're like...